Thanks, Joyce. I'd like to Boo and Peter to comment on the question of TC. And actually, the reason I'm picking you is both of you participated in a project we did a couple years ago where we did several, quote, town meetings of breast cancer survivors and gave them keypads and had you guys and a bunch of other faculty from around the country present different issues and questions. And one of the things that came out about this was we asked people to rate potential side effects and complications of chemotherapy after hearing what you all were describing in terms of what the risks were. We were very surprised that concerns about cardiotoxicity were among the most highly rated, much more highly rated in alopecia and other problems, which was interesting in view of the numbers that were presented to these people. So, Debu, what are your thoughts about non-anthracycline regimens, and do you agree or disagree with Joyce's contention that TC now is a better therapy than AC?
Well, cardiac issues are clearly important. I think we underestimate them after decades of attention to heart disease in this country. It's no surprise that patients are concerned about this. So we do need less cardiotoxic regimens. Just by way of covering the prior material, we really don't know the long-term history for cardiac toxicity because we've never measured it systematically, and it's a hard thing to measure anyway. So I think when you look at population-based studies, you may overestimate it because there are probably a lot of misclassified people. And then I think when you look at clinical trials, you may underestimate it because of selection bias of patients that you enroll on studies. So either way, it's a hard thing to determine. I do think that the TC regimen is a reasonable non-anthracycline regimen. It's a smaller study, so our level of confidence in this is less, but at least everything was in the right direction. So I do think that despite all the limitations of being a small study and also one that was spread out over a large period of time and had very broad eligibility criteria, I still think that it did show that it's as good or probably even better than AC. And I think that in patients with cardiac risk factors, it's a totally reasonable regimen to use.
Could I ask you, patients who don't have cardiac risk factors, do you think that that's a regimen that should be brought up as an option?
I think it can be. When you look at the overall toxicity profile, it's hard for me to figure out which was better tolerated because the spectrum of toxicities were different. The TC regimen had more hematologic toxicities, more edema, whereas the AC regimen had more GI toxicities and cardiotoxicity, presumably, although I don't know how well that was
There was
measured.
One CHF in the AC and zero in the TC, and we really didn't do a lot of monitoring.
Peter, what's your take on this?
I think that if we'd started with TC, we wouldn't be going across to AC on the results of this trial. And I think that the trial is of modest size but shows statistically significant disease-free survival. And consistent with that, the same size overall survival, it's just underpowered for it to make statistical significance. So I would anticipate that over the next couple of years, people that want to give a short 12-week regimen are going to be giving TC much more frequently over time than was given a year ago. About the cardiac toxicity, I agree that the SEER analysis matched with Medicare records wasn't absolutely convincing. Amongst other things, the numbers seemed very high to me. And I would have liked to have known in just a general population what those numbers actually are anticipated to be. I think that we have a major problem with ascertainment, however, of late toxicity in clinical trials. And if I have a patient that had developed congestive heart failure, had been treated by somebody, by just our internist who'd put her on some kind of mild congestive medicine, I'm not sure I would necessarily always pick that up. And I think that's the kind of thing that isn't picked up on long-term toxicity reports. There's one paper that hasn't been mentioned here in this regard, and that is, it's my understanding that in MUSS's analysis of the older patients in CLGB studies, there wasn't a marked increase in congestive failure, but I don't know how long the follow-up was on average for those patients. So that's somewhat reassuring that we're not way out of whack for the older patients.
Hope.
I think that some of the considerations have to be added toxicity. So, for example, you have the cardiac risk, which obviously is going to be somewhat age-related and morbidity-related, even if we don't have all of the data for that. But also, there is a known risk of secondary leukemias and myelodysplasia. And so the more we use chemotherapy in lower-risk patients, as Rowan was saying earlier, as a standard of care, the more concern we need to have about inappropriately giving toxicity. So if there's a regimen which can eliminate that risk and have, with docetaxel, relatively modest risk of peripheral neuropathy, another very bothersome side effect, then that's great. Now, the TC regimen they didn't use growth factors, although I think that was one of the bigger toxicities was neutropenia. And we certainly, when we started using TC, we had our first hospitalizations in a very long time for febrile neutropenia. And so I think that you have to be cautious in individual patients and monitor maybe perhaps closely. Perhaps those are the patients who should receive prophylactic antibiotics. And then the last comment is just, we saw a lot of data on the last day of ASCO on Topo II, some of it conflicting, and the role of anthracyclines in patients who have Topo II, perhaps probably mutations more than deletions. In a study of this size, we might not be able to see that impact. You don't have enough patients in each arm, potentially. So now, with that data on Topo II, do we all feel equally comfortable using TC across the board? Do we need to have information on Topo II?